Are you ready to be inspired, challenged, and strengthened in your faith walk? Are you ready to get breakthrough from those old cycles and thought patterns that you just can't seem to get freedom from? Then you've come to the right place. You are going to get freedom, you are going to get breakthrough, and you are going to get healing because that's the life that Jesus paid for. This podcast is not just talk. We're going to live it. I want to personally welcome you to my little podcast corner. My name is Jillian Ahonen, and I am so excited for what God's going to do through our time together today. Whether you're driving in traffic to work, out on a morning run, or sipping your coffee in a comfy chair, let's get our hearts ready for today's word. Hello, welcome to Not Just Talk with me, Jillian Ahonen. We are going to unpack this one question today, a question that I feel very strongly that every single one of us in any season of our life should be asking ourselves this question, and it's, are you saying yes when you should be saying no? We're going to get real today. We're going to really look at ourselves in full honesty and transparency, because in order to answer that question, we're going to have to look at a bigger truth and discover whether or not we have layers of people-pleasing mud inside of us, or where we have built our identity around what other people think, what other people feel, maybe the cheerleaders in our lives that make us feel good about doing all these different things, maybe fear of how you're going to appear if you say no, or just fear of criticism. And really, let's be real. If we have those areas in our lives, the truth is we're going to have a very difficult time following Jesus and tuning into that still small voice that might want to tell us that that's not what he has for us in different seasons of our lives. And that might just be why you're feeling so stressed and so overwhelmed and so spread thin. We've got to look at this stuff today because the enemy is having a field day in the body of Christ. You can put this into all different perspectives and all different angles, whether it's your home life, your work life, your social life. But I want to talk about what goes on in our church communities and how there is this unspoken message that kind of comes in that leaves us feeling guilty if we're not involved in all these different ministries, going to every event, every service, and all these different things, on top of the fact that most of us have careers and a family life and sports. And here's my disclaimer, okay? I am not talking about the value and the importance of plugging into a local church. I'm not talking about how important it is to have community around you, to have fellowship and relationships inside of the church, not necessarily the church that you go to, but just in general. It's so important to have community, to have fellowship, to have accountability, to have the iron that sharpens iron in your life. And honestly, there's so many messages that we can focus in on. There's enough messages in the church that preach on the importance of this. But what I don't think there is enough of is the pressure that we sometimes will feel to say yes to more than we should be. And it's leaving us feeling overwhelmed. It's leaving us feeling stressed. To be perfectly honest with you, I think a lot of my brothers and sisters are, you know, shoving down how they're really feeling inside and painting on that plastic Christian smile. And it's time to rip it off. It's time to look at what's going on. It's time to ask ourselves the hard questions. Do I have fear of man? Do I have insecurities? Am I afraid of being judged? Am I really, really, really following Jesus, listening to God's still small voice as he guides me in this season? Am I saying yes to things that I should be saying no to? Am I people-led and not spirit-led in my life? There is a pressure that's going on, including in our church communities, that is not God's design. His grace is sufficient, which means in all things, at all times, we should be experiencing his joy and his peace. It's not something that we only feel it on occasion, but deep inside we're stressed. Hurry up, get there. Hurry up, do this. Hurry up, be there. You know, and all these different ways that we just feel this obligation and this pressure. And it's just not God's heart. We don't have to wait until we get to the vacation to have rest for our souls. I'm going to read to you Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is out of the Message version. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep companying with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. We live in a culture that puts a demand on us, and it's supposed to look very different in the kingdom of heaven. That demand and that pressure in the workforce, in the world, that hustle, get up, grind, you know, we're adopting some terminologies in the church that is just burning us out. And it's blocking us from being lights to the world around us. We walk out of the church building and we're stressed by the traffic or that person or where we have to get to next. And to be perfectly honest with you, that kind of stress is actually blocking us from being influencers in our sphere of influence. You know, if you're stressed out all the time and you are at home with your children and you're like, hurry up, we gotta get here, hurry up, we gotta be there, hurry up, we're late, we're late, we're late. What are you teaching your children? We gotta stop. We gotta slow down. Are we able to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Are we vessels of the living God where we walk into a room and we shift atmospheres? Or are we bringing that stressed out, burned out on religion momentum into our homes, into our workplaces, into the grocery store? Hurry up, gotta check in, gotta check out. We leave such little time in our lives, we miss divine appointments. And I'm going to get into that on another day. I want to stay focused on what God's put on my heart today. But I'll tell you right now, bottom line, the enemy loves when we're stressed out. The enemy loves that we are overcommitted Christians. He's loving it because on so many levels, it's stopping us from actually getting the real healing that we need from Jesus because we're just too busy. It's keeping our lights dim. And then we're forced to manufacture the fruit of the Spirit. Shove down how we're feeling, put on the plastic smile, and look like Jesus. And inside we're in turmoil. It's not God's heart, and it's not His way. The enemy is robbing us because we're getting caught up in something that's not God's heart. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's John 10:10. God's taken me on this very interesting journey, okay? It's been awkward, it's been hard, it's been stripping, but I am so thankful. I have been put in so many situations where I really have been judged. I've been judged unfairly, I've been criticized, and I'm saying it with a big fat smile, but the reason is because what I realized that God was doing, well, first of all, it was painfully hard. At first, but once I caught on to what God was doing, that He was training me for such a time as this, that He was moving me into this place of such confident freedom and confident trust in His direction for my life, I literally do not care what other people think of me. I don't. And that is such incredible freedom to live under, the freedom that He wants you to live under as well. In my book, Life is Muddy, How to Conquer the Hard, Heavy, and Hurtful Parts of Life with God, we unpack it in chapter 7, Living for the Audience Mud Pit. In that chapter, we identify the subtle ways that the crowd overrides God's lead in our lives on a daily basis and how this reality is blocking us from experiencing God's sufficient grace and the freedom that comes when we live for an audience of one. And I want to read to you from that chapter today, because why re-say it when it's right here? And by the way, JillianAhonan.com, get your signed copy if you don't already have one. It's available on all online bookstores. You can get it on Amazon Prime, get it in 2 days. If you have not read it, I'm going to highly encourage you to. This is a shameless plug. A lot of people may think, oh, well, my season's not that hard, so maybe I don't need to read that book. I'm telling you right now, so many people that have read this book that thought they were in a pretty good spot realized these areas that they were living out of that they didn't know existed. And as they took the journey through these pages, the Holy Spirit started speaking to them, and they moved out of these seasons that they thought, you know, was not bad, things are going pretty good, but they didn't realize the inner turmoil that they were still living under, and they became freer and freer, and something unlocked inside of them. The Holy Spirit is really using this book, whether you're experiencing something super hard, maybe you've come out of something incredibly hard, or you're just kind of going through the motions of life, feeling kind of lifeless, but not even recognizing it. This is a book of biblical tools that is going to seriously benefit you no matter what season of life you find yourself in. But back to the question today, right? Are you saying yes when you should say no? So this is chapter 7, and I'm going to read. I don't have my glasses on. Let's get glasses on because then I can see. Oh, wow. All right. Let there be light. Okay. Imagine having no one else to please but God. Imagine feeling so confident in him that you have zero need for any kind of cheerleader in your life. You're too busy running the race he set before you, getting all you need from him. Imagine waking up every day and realizing the God of the universe, the one who handpicked you, wants to direct your every step. And as he does, each step taken is purposed towards something greater and more fulfilling than anything you've ever experienced in your life. Imagine knowing that as you live for him, you become naturally inclined to take care of what God has placed in your life. It no longer feels heavy or done out of obligation, but from a place of genuine love and joy with total freedom. This is just the beginning of what our lives can look like when we live to please only him. Living free, less stress, less anxiety, less push and pull from the life plate that we've piled way too high, feeling like it's our obligation to manage. Could you imagine a life where the pressure to look good for everyone suddenly disappeared? Where the word yes is genuine and feels like freedom with commitment rather than the pressure of another's expectation. Work, serve, be, do, go, go, go. Who are you doing all of these things for? If we're genuinely honest with ourselves, we find that there's an underlying truth about the heaviness of our responsibilities. Our full plate is not necessarily filled with the things that God wanted us to put on it, but overflowing with what we ourselves have said yes to, because we're good at it, because it makes us look good, because it makes us feel good about ourselves, because they need me. So it must be right, right? Do we check in with him first? The more we leave God out of the equation and live our lives with a subconscious inner need for accolades from people, the more we live with burdens that were not our design to carry. Then we add even more to our life plate without a yes from God, leading us to anxiety and stress that we wear daily, feeling as if this long to-do list is ours to manage. That's what life feels like when we're led by man or self, not fully surrendered to the will of God and the leading of his spirit. Now, I'm not saying that taking care of your life is a bad thing, okay? Not at all. Don't hear what I'm not saying, hear what I am saying. Taking care of our lives from God is a privilege and an honor, from ourselves to our family, friends, school, serving, jobs, and everything else in between. I'm pointing us all to a larger picture here and saying that if we're only doing these things or adding to our responsibilities out of pressure, obligation, or a need in us to be fulfilled, it's not true freedom. Not every good idea is a God idea. A bad yes to a good thing will knock us right out of the peace and joy that is ours through Jesus. That way of living is heavy and oppressive. It's being yoked back into another form of slavery. It's a life that's not lived freely, but now bound to the expectation because of insecurity or fear of what others may think, say, or do. Or maybe even what we think of ourselves if we don't do yet another thing. Jesus came to set us free, but are we living in his freedom? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's Luke 4:18. What if working as unto the Lord took on a new meaning in our lives and it really meant joy? I'm challenging you today to get into the habit of not saying yes right away, checking in with God before you commit to anything, even if it's a good idea. Remember, not every good idea is a God idea. Unless you know, because God has already spoken to you in season and you know what you're supposed to be doing, and that question or that person coming to you asking if you could do something is already in line and in agreement with what he's already said yes to, that's a whole different ball game. But that's why it's so important to seek him in each season, because a lot of times when we've sought him in our season, we already know what we're going to have to say yes to and what we're going to say no to, and it becomes this steady flow where we're actually living in the rhythm of grace. When you make checking in with him a habit, you're going to quickly learn how often you say yes out of pressure or fear, because you're going to feel that hesitation when you go to him and maybe he says, no, I don't have that for you in this season. And you have this natural response inside of you that's like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think of me? I always say yes to this. I always do this. I always, you know, put myself in that spot so that they've relied on me. What am I going to do now? When you start to really press in and ask the Lord what he says, and he whispers to your heart, no, not this time. It's going to spread you too thin. You're going to know where you have fallen into the habit of living for the audience over living for the one. Realize that there are going to be times where God is actually testing you. I've experienced it many times. For example, I'm serving in full-time ministry. I've got everything that I'm supposed to be doing in my season. And my good friend comes to me, a friend that I've been on her panel at her women's conferences. I've served in various ways. I spoke at one of her events once, and she asked me if I would join her ministry team, her planning committee. And I went to the Lord, and he basically was like, I didn't have the green light to be a full commitment on her planning committee, but I did feel very confidently that I could just come and help that day set up, tear down, just like all the little things, setting up the tables and all the little details and, you know, just fill in wherever she needed me, just kind of show up that day. I was going to be there anyway. And I knew, like, I'm good. I feel a lot of peace on that. I felt like I had God's green light. And here's what's interesting. It was about 2 weeks away from the event. I had a dream. And in the dream, my friend had asked me to be the MC because the MC like canceled. I can't remember what it was. But in the dream, I was asked to be the MC. And I said yes. And the whole dream, it was not a good feeling. And after the dream, I prayed through it and I asked the Lord what it meant. And he said, she's going to ask you to be the MC. And I don't want you to be the MC in this season. You don't have my grace for it. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Me stepping out in this new season of ministry and speaking, I want every opportunity to practice having a microphone in my hand. I'm like, God knows I need the practice. God knows this is not my normal thing. Like, I am not a trained speaker. So I'm going, I have an opportunity to practice something that you've called me into, and you're telling me I can't. You're telling me you're not giving me the grace for that season. My dream, clearly I did not have the grace. It was a disaster. I made a disaster out of it. So I was like, well, she hasn't asked me to be MC, so I'm thankful for that, even though it doesn't make any sense. My other thing that I realized it was surfacing in me was I didn't want to let my friend down. If my friend really needed help in this area, I didn't want to let her down. I thought I got away with that one. But guess what? A couple of days before the event, I got a text and my friend said, hey, can you be the MC for the event? And I had to say no. And it was hard. And I felt so much sadness because I felt like I was letting a friend down. But I knew I wasn't letting God down. And I could feel this, just trust me. And as I pressed into that, what sounds so silly, I'm already there. This is kind of the movement that God's doing in my life where he's calling me to speak and share and, you know, be in front of people, which is not my norm. Trust me, it's not. It was just hard. I realized it was surfacing these things inside of me. And as I prayed about it and I talked to God about it, he just continued to speak into it. And he's like, if you can't trust and follow me and obey me in the little things, I can't give you more. I can't trust you with more. I am taking you on a journey and through this wilderness season of really solidifying trust and obedience. Are you going to listen to my voice or are you going to listen to man's voice? And I'm telling you, as much as it was hard, I am so thankful that I stopped, I listened, I yielded to the Holy Spirit, because I have experienced so many times where the pressure of man has come in and told me that I needed to be doing something that God has already clearly told me no. I've gotten rejected. I've gotten judged. I've gotten criticized. Coming into, I think it was like 2016 or 2017, God having me step down from serving inside of the building and just serve him in my ministry and really focus on what he wants to do through Jillian Ohana Ministries and not divide myself, because the more I divide myself, the less I can do over at Jillian Ohana Ministries, on top of the fact that I have a family life and I homeschool and I'm a mom, a wife, and ama to almost three grandbabies. And if I didn't go through this training period where I stopped, I learned, I yielded to the Holy Spirit, I let God speak to my heart in each season, I wouldn't have been prepared for the season that I'm in today. And let me just tell you, I still get judged. There is this unspoken message that if you're not doing all of these things that people can visibly see in the church building, you must not be that solid. And I get judged for that. If people don't know me, or they keep me at arm's length, or they've never, you know, had more of than a, hey, how's it going Sunday conversation, I get judged. But you know what? I'm living confidently free. Years ago, when there was a time that God had pulled me out of serving in the church, and it was temporarily, and I got judged. People thought I was struggling spiritually. But let me just tell you, what was going on inside of me was so powerful, because God was healing my broken heart from my abusive marriage. Had I not taken that time and sat at the feet of Jesus and stopped concerning myself with what other people might think of me, I wouldn't have experienced the tangible presence of God. Literally, I'm not making this up, literally the tangible presence of God coming and meeting me in the loneliest, most broken places of my life, healing me, restoring me, and breathing life into the dead areas of my heart and my mind, and even restoring the PTSD and depression and all the things that came along with coming out of a very traumatic and abusive marriage. I wouldn't have experienced that. Let's be real. We believe that Jesus heals, but how many of us are so busy going and doing and serving and being that we really haven't taken the time to still ourselves and get that healing touch from Jesus? As a life coach in the Christian community and as a mentor for many years, I'm telling you right now, I have come alongside so many people that thought they were doing better because community was filling a void. But as we dialogued, what surfaced was that they still had these wounds from the past that Jesus didn't touch and heal because they didn't create that space. They didn't know they could go to him. They thought, well, plugging in here, doing this, plugging in that, that's going to, you know, make me feel better. It gives me purpose. And you know what I mean? Like it gives us this, like this purpose, but it's almost like a false sense of purpose sometimes, not always. Don't email me, but it does give us this false sense of purpose that tells us in this, you know, subliminal message that says that we're healed and we're whole and we're better off, but really, truly, we're busy and we go home and we still have this stuff. And then we busy ourselves with more. Maybe we have these dips of depression because of old hurt that we haven't stilled ourselves long enough in God's presence to experience that healing touch that he has for us, because we're stretched too thin, because we're constantly saying yes when we might need to say no. As I came alongside of these people in their seasons of life, what surfaced was this hurt that needed the healing touch of Jesus, or maybe where they were struggling because they weren't rooted in their identity as a child of God. They kind of believed it, but it was from a disconnected place of, yeah, I believe it, but I don't feel it. And these different various areas and wounds and soul wounds and, emotional traumas and things like that, as I encourage them and challenge them to pull away, get with God and see what he has to say, and starting to kind of eliminate the things that they've put in their life that are not the priority from the season, and realizing where they've overcommitted. And as they stilled themselves with the Lord, they experienced the miraculous healing touch and they became so free. They're running their race from a place of wholeness and victory. If I didn't learn the power of no and what it actually looks like to lean in and hear God's still small voice speaking into my season, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And maybe if I was doing it, I'd be stressed out. And I'm not. I don't live stressed. I live in the rhythm of grace. I'm experiencing a state of rest even when things are hard in my life because I'm not overcommitted. When God has told me no to certain things, it was to prepare me for a storm that was coming up ahead that blindsided me, but I wasn't so busy and so stretched then. I was able to respond from a place of strength and a place of trust, rooting myself in the fact that I didn't have all of these different obligations coming at me, and now I've got this area that I've got to take care of. It was like God was preparing me for what was up ahead. Like I said, I homeschool, run a ministry. I took a break from this podcast, and guess what? Even the training of learning to say no and being in the season I'm in, I could have so easily been under this pressure and this obligation to stay consistent with my podcast. We have this consumer culture that puts this expectation on us to do 50 million things even within ministry, and we spread ourselves too thin, and then we feel guilty when we can't uphold it all. I don't live under that burden. I didn't feel the grace for a while. I stopped recording for a while. I feel like God is saying, all right, step back into it. Here I am. Do you know that there are so many ministries that have to hire out writers and teams and all these different people where they're putting money into hiring outside sources because they're trying to manage something that they can't manage? And it's not just in the world, it's in the church. It's not God's heart. It's stressing us out. It's forcing us to have to put on a front in so many different ways. And it's not from the Lord. I realize that it's normal for the world we live in, these strategies, these, like I mentioned earlier, hustle, grind, get up, go, go, go. But the kingdom of God is supposed to look drastically different, so that we have something drastically different to give to the world around us. That stressed out, anxious, overwhelmed, worrisome world, we have nothing to give them if we're under the same obligation and pressure. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Human understanding is overriding checking in with God in all of our ways, and it's the number one reason we're going a million miles an hour, saying yes to way too many commitments, wearing way too many hats, going in a billion different directions, and our path is far from straight. The Bible says to follow Jesus, know his ways, to know his voice, and to listen to him, that life with him is light and free. I am so thankful that God has undone these false ideas and shown me the simplicity of following him. I'm so thankful that I've shaken off those layers of people-pleasing mud that would keep me locked into a life that's heavy and burdensome, potentially not living out the call on my life. And like I said, I still experience judgment, and to some from the outside crowd, it looks like I might not be plugged in because of the season that I'm in, but you know what? I'm plugged into God. I'm plugged into community. I fellowship on a regular basis. I'm living out the purpose and plans for my life. I'm living for God. I'm leaning to him and allowing him to tell me what my commitments are supposed to look like in each season of my life. And because of this way of life, I am confidently free, living at peace, managing all that God has placed in my life without any stress. Come on, that's amazing. This light and free life is yours too. It's for you. I'm challenging you today to evaluate what you've said yes to and get with God. Give him space to speak into the commitments that you have going on. Deal with those inner fears of letting people down and begin to root yourself in the confident trust that you are not letting God down when you choose to obey him, and the blessing of rest and peace will reign in your life. I'm going to close here. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. That's Hebrews 10:35. Be blessed. Thank you for joining me today. I believe in the Holy Spirit met you powerfully through this week's episode of Not Just Talk. Now for the real part. Let's take this conversation beyond talk and live it in our daily lives. Amen? Don't forget to come back for another episode of Not Just Talk.